From WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting Central and Northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, police departments across Michigan are using automated license plate readers to track vehicles. Officers say it's helping solve crimes, but critics argue it's putting privacy at risk.
No, I just don't want to give up any more liberties.
Hear how communities across the region are reckoning with AI-assisted traffic cameras. And this week's Brain Teaser talks about cars, cats, and lights. And no animals were harmed in the making of this Brain Teaser. That's all coming up. But first, these headlines. This week, the Bay City Commission delayed a vote on a trio of resolutions proposing to limit local law enforcement from working with ICE. The resolutions would have barred local cops from detaining people without a warrant, banned the usage of masks, and ultimately would have stopped city resources from going to federal immigration enforcement. They were proposed by Commissioner Christopher Runberg. At the meeting, Bay City locals voiced opinions both in favor and against the resolutions. Jeff Doyen opposed the measure and says immigration laws should be enforced.
Our funds aren't the greatest. We don't have enough to support them. So we're going to continue to bring more people in who can't afford to support themselves. They don't have a legal right to work.
The resolution was sent back to Runberg, who indicated he was willing to amend them. A similar proposal was vetoed last year by Mayor Christopher Girard, who said it could open the city up to fiscal risks, like state budget cuts. In other immigration news, two Michigan congresswomen visited Michigan's largest ICE detention center Tuesday and spoke to detainees there. Representative Haley Stevens of the Detroit area and Representative Hillary Scholten of Grand Rapids toured North Lake Processing Center in northern Michigan's Lake County. There are 1,500 detainees at that facility. Scholten said one man described being held in conditions that concerned her.
He spoke of being, you know, kept in a freezing room where he couldn't feel his toes and, you know, having his food just thrown into his cell. These are things that we really need to take seriously.
The representatives have been seeking more information about the death of Nenko Ganchev, a Chicago resident from Bulgaria who died at the Baldwin facility in December. Ganchev's autopsy report has not yet been released. Michigan state lawmakers are introducing new bills this week aimed at lowering the cost of housing. Colin Jackson has more.
The bill package would create statewide zoning policies that allow things like duplexes and single-family residential zones and cut back on other rules like minimum home size requirements. Democratic State Representative Christian Grant says the bills would make it easier to build.
The goal is straightforward: more attainable homes and more types of housing. Single-family homes, mother-in-law suites, condos, townhomes, in communities all across the state.
But Jennifer Rigtrink with the Michigan Municipal League says the state should partner with rather than preempt local rules.
Accountability is clearest at the local level. You know, residents know who made the decisions. They get to participate directly, and they get to influence outcomes through engagement and voting.
Some of the bills could receive a committee hearing this week. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
And so far, more than 80% of winter days in mid-Michigan have been cloudy, with only about a dozen days of sunshine. Scott Thomas is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Grand Rapids. He says that's not too unusual for the state. Cold, moist air moving off the relatively warmer waters of Lake Michigan often leads to persistent cloud cover.
Areas in and downstream of the Great Lakes, such as Lower Michigan, are going to be on the cloudier side, along with the Pacific Northwest.
The lack of sunshine can contribute to vitamin D deficiency. According to Henry Ford Health, many people in Michigan start the winter with low baseline levels. Low vitamin D can lead to achy muscles, depression, and a weaker immune system. Thomas says more frequent sunny days should return later next month. And now it's time for this week's Brain Teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw today's teaser. This week's teaser is a riddle, and here we go. A man was driving a black car. His lights were off. The moon showed no light. A cat was in the middle of the road. How did he know to stop? Again, a man was driving a black car. His lights were off. The moon showed no light, and a cat was in the middle of the road. How did he know to stop? We'll shed some light on the answer right after this.
Automated license plate readers have been popping up on roadsides across Michigan. They can record vital details about a car to help police investigations. Proponents of the technology say the cameras have helped bring crime rates down. But as WCMU's A.J. Jones reports, some Michiganders are concerned about what this means for their civil liberties.
Cars whiz by in a busy intersection in downtown Saginaw. Each and every one of them is being tracked by four cameras on nearby light poles at the intersection of Court Street and South Michigan Avenue. The cameras are owned by the company Avigilon. These cameras don't just collect video, they are AI-assisted. They can pick up details like license plates, damage on a bumper, and the make and model of a vehicle. One of the largest makers of these cameras is Flock Safety. Over 160 Michigan law agencies partner with them. Officers have praised the technology, saying it helps solve crimes other cameras can't catch. However, critics argue the data collected by the cameras could fall into the wrong hands and jeopardize privacy.
Meeting of the Bay City Commission will come to order.
At a Bay City Commission meeting late last year, officials considered whether to retain the usage of Flock cameras in the city. Flock did not speak to us for this story, but company representative Trevor Chandler spoke at the November meeting. He said the technology is responsible for an over 40% drop in car theft in San Jose and increased arrests in San Francisco.
So not only are auto thefts going down, but for the ones that remain, the arrests for them are going up.
Local police departments have the option to share data with other agencies across America. Flock offers a nationwide lookup tool. Chandler insists that Flock does not own or sell the data they collect, and all data is purged after 30 days.
Every single agency, every single community that purchases Flock owns their own data, and they get to choose if they want to share.
Despite Flock's assurances that their data is secure, people in Bay City voiced concerns at the meeting.
No, I just don't want to give up any more liberties.
We could be putting money into better education systems, more things for the youth to do.
Flock can hand our data over to anyone, law enforcement, government officials, or private parties.
Those were Bay City residents Rick Mastrioni, Amanda Fenner, and Adam Reddick. There are now no more publicly operated cameras in Bay City because the commission voted to reject a new contract with Flock. As one city rejects the cameras, communities across Grand Traverse County are having a reckoning about them. The county has 27 Flock cameras. The company has contracts with three local communities. Over 150,000 cars have been detected in the last 30 days.
It's not just about it being a camera system to help fight crime. It's about a corporation or a company having access to all of this data.
That's Dakota Stebbins, a 31-year-old lifelong resident of Traverse City. After he posted a map of Flock cameras in the area onto a Facebook group, hundreds were outraged. Stebbins says he's concerned about the security of the data the cameras collect. Randy Fulis is the undersheriff for Grand Traverse County. He says Flock cameras have helped solve crimes they otherwise wouldn't have been able to solve.
You know, it's taking a picture of basically the back of your car. And unless that information needs to be accessed for some type of investigation, then that information is never accessed and basically is deleted after 30 days.
Fulis says the sheriff's department and Flock gave public presentations on how the cameras work, and there are policies in place to protect the data. He says the majority of the feedback has been positive. Michigan does not yet have laws regulating the usage of automated license plate readers. There is a bipartisan package of bills in the state Senate that would create rules for these cameras. They would require data to be deleted after 14 days unless there is an investigation. Flock and the ACLU have worked together to successfully push similar bills in Virginia. I'm A.J. Jones, WCMU News.
And WCMU's Rick Brewer contributed reporting to this story. And now, it's time to reveal the answer to this week's brain teaser. To recap, we gave you this riddle. A man was driving a black car. His lights were off. The moon showed no light, but a cat was in the middle of the road. How did he know to stop? Again, a man was driving a black car. His lights were off. The moon showed no light, and a cat was in the middle of the road. How did he know to stop? The answer? He knew to stop because he was driving during the day. Oh, I know, flashbacks from math class, story problems are returning here too. The good news is you won't be graded on this brain teaser. And that's it for this week's brain teaser. If you'd like to send in a fact, riddle, or question for the brain teaser, email us at news@wcmu.org. And that's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes. Read more of our reporting from across the region at radio.wcmu.org, where you can also find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer, and I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Have a great weekend.